Shalom.
Hello.
We're reading the book of Zohar, excerpts on spiritual attainment. And we'll start with a dream is 1/60th of prophecy. Questions can be asked during the lesson online. Again, book of Zohar, a dream is 1/60th of prophecy.
And as usual, when we want to study the book of Zohar, we especially need to reach a state where we are all as one man with one heart, try and be in connection between us, because only through that point of connection between us, the light of the Zohar can work on us and illuminate our path, change us to the desired state. Please.
A dream is 1/60th of prophecy, 70. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. The dream is the sixth degree from the 2 degrees of prophecy, which are Netzach Vehod, the Zerampin. This is so because there are 6 degrees from here to that degree of the dream, Hod de Nukva. Yesod de Zerampin, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzach, and Hod de Nukva. Hence, the dream is one of 60 of prophecy, because each sfira of those 6 consists of 10 sfirot, and 10 times 6 is 60. And the dream, which is the lowest of them, is therefore one of 60. A ladder implies that he saw that his sons were destined to receive the Torah on Mount Sinai. Since sulam, the Hebrew word for ladder, is Sinai, because Mount Sinai is, as it is written, set on the earth, with its stop, meaning its merit, reaching to heaven. And all the Merkavot, chariots, and the camps of high angels were descending there, along with the Creator, when He gave them the Torah. As it is written, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Each attains according to his degree. 24. As man is, so he is shown in his dreams, and so he sees. And as a soul rises to attain, each according to his degree, as is appropriate for him, hence, Pharaoh saw that was appropriate for him, and no more. 29. And he sent and called for all the sorcerers of Egypt, the charmers, and all its wise men are the knowledge in fortunes, and they all observed to know, but they could not attain. 30. Even though we learned that you show to a person only according to one's degree, it is not so with kings. They are shown high things, different from what other people are shown. As the king's degree is higher than all the other people, he is shown a higher degree than all the others. As it is written, God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. But the Creator does not show to other people what he does, except for prophets or the pious or the sages of the generation. We have no attainment in Gal, only in Zat. 156. We have no attainment in Gal, even in the Gal of the 10 Sfirot of the Word of Asiya, but only in Zat. And in Zat, a chosen few can attain, even in Zat, the Gal of the World of Atzilut. Rabbi Yitzchak's father tells us that Rabbi Shimon held the Zat of all the Partsufim of Atzilut, even the Zat, the Gar, the Atzilut.
Whoever wants to ask and ask, we can interpret what we're reading, but Or we'll just keep reading for the remedy. We it can go both ways. Keep going. Yes, Edik.
It's written. That which the Creator does, He showed to Pharaoh, but to other people the Creator does not reveal His actions, except then to prophets or the pious or the sages of the generation. What does it mean that He shows what He does to Pharaoh?
Pharaoh is a very high degree. Pharaoh is such a great will to receive that in it everything is revealed. What does Pharaoh say? The Creator is righteous and I am wicked. Who is that Creator that I will listen to? Meaning that every time that a person raises himself in the right line through prayer and receiving the reforming light, Pharaoh is revealed in a higher degree. I've reached degree number 20. Pharaoh is revealed in degree 21, minus, right? The left, the negative. And then he says, who is that Creator I should listen to? Right? That's it. Man works, invites the light that reforms. The light comes and raises through the right line to degree number 22. Then Pharaoh says, the Creator is righteous and I am wicked. Understand? It's, we constantly see here that the state that is between the Creator and Pharaoh. And that's why Pharaoh reveals everything. Pharaoh is the left line. He, as Baal HaSulam said, that Rabash kept saying that the wicked in the Torah, they're great people, because the left is the wicked, the righteous is the right, and it goes both ways, a bit here, a bit there.
There are other people here, there's the pious, there's prophets, there's Pharaoh, there's...
That's correct, but Pharaoh and the Creator are two lines that... we can't. I don't know. It's how do I say this? That's nature. There's nothing you can do here.
Is there a difference between the pious and the prophets in the work?
Yes. The wise, the prophets, the chassidics, the people of the Creator, the Kohens, it's different degrees in spirituality. It has nothing to do with humans. But in the partzuf, when we engage in the middle line on the degree of the Adam, when he attains, those are the names of his degrees. Keep going. Yeah.
Раф, а что значит, что мы не постигаем даже горы мира Осия, а потом как бы перескакиваем в зад мира Ицрай? Как это происходит?
Происходит очень просто. Слегка.
Oh, sorry.
What does it mean that we do not reach the Gal, we cannot attain the Gal de Asiya?
We can't attain Gar of any degree, not even Gar of Asiya. What we do is the Zat of every degree, even Zat of Rosh of Atzilut, we can attain it. That's what Zohar is writing about. These are known things in the wisdom of Kabbalah, the study of the Ten Sefirot, we know that. Why? Because the Rosh, we never attain it. Gar is Rosh, the first three, Keter, Chochma, Bina. Or Chochma Bin Adat. We can't attain it. Why can't we attain it? Because it's thoughts and intentions of the Creator towards the created being. What do we attain? We acquire the Zat, the lower seven, Chesed Gvura Tiferet, Netzach Hod Yesod Malchut. When we acquire these values, these virtues, we start working with them. When we correct these virtues and put the Rosh atop of them, so whatever's in the Rosh we get in the Guf. And then what we attain in the Rosh, we attain what is probably in the Rosh. But we never, the thoughts and intentions, the planning, the actions, everything that is done in the Rosh, we can't really know it. The Rosh of the Partsuf, we're speaking about the Partsufim of the Olamot. And that, for us, is not attainable. For that reason, the Partsufim are attained from Olam Asiya till Atzilut, Garde Atzilut. In every Olam, in every state, we only attain the Zat, the lower seven Sfirot of every degree, sub-degree. It's always the Zat. But the Gar, the first three, we don't attain. But through us attaining that Zat, we do get something, an illumination from Gar to the Zat. And that's what we attain. That is why Gar joins the Zat. If that Zat did all the action, because Zat is called the deeds, if we do it, we do attain in somewhat the Rosh, to the extent that the Guf can accept from it, but not the Rosh itself. The Rosh of a degree are the thoughts of the Creator. The result of the Rosh is the Guf, that if we work correctly, then we, first of all, organize the Guf ourselves according to the desires, and also we attain from your deeds, we will know you. That what we have in the Toch and Sof, meaning the Guf of the Partsuf, that shows us in somewhat of what's going on in the Rosh. We attain, sorry.
So this means that we cannot attain more than we can attain in our vessels.
We always attain Vak. We'll only attain Gar, probably in Gemar Tikkun, and the action of Rav Pa'alim Mekabtzel.
Yes. Thank you. What is a dream in spirituality?
A dream is part of attainment, which is called one of 60, the six sfirot of Zer'anpin, times 10 is 60. So one part of the 60, attaining a 60th of the Guf of Zer'anpin, when Malchut attains that, that state is called a dream.
How does this relate to us? To now, our
world. What does it have to do with you?
I also dream sometimes.
Oh, you dream.
Yes.
You have a cat or a dog at home?
Not quite yet.
Not yet? Well, he dreams too. I'm telling you. What a dream for a beast. Sorry I'm saying about you, you're a respected person, but towards spirituality, it's a beast. Right? So the dream of a beast, of humans in this world, let's say, in nice words. It's when throughout the day they were thinking and suspecting and regretting and happy, and everything is felt at night in all kinds of forms. Weird forms, because a person doesn't activate his five senses. For that reason, his thoughts, without the limitations of the senses, get all kinds of strange forms, and then a dream comes. When you're young, and when you're all energy, and you know, that's a dream. Okay. Who else? Give it to the carpenter.
Now, I wanted to add also, so what about prophecy?
The prophecy?
Between prophecy and dream, how can we get to something like that?
No, prophecy is something else, and I can't tell you about it, but you can read in the study of the Tense field according to the definitions that are written there. Prophecy or nevuah belongs to Gar. A dream belongs to Zat. Then, if I tell you, we won't sleep good. Why do you need this? Give it to him.
So, continuation to what you just talked about, he counts from Hod de Zerampin, he counts 6 degrees downwards, and he says that Hod de Zerampin is the step of prophecy, and he says that there are steps below that, 6 steps, Hod de Nukva. And Keter, Chokma, Bina, de Nukva, he doesn't mention. He starts with Chesed. They're not counted, seemingly.
Yeah, we talked about it. We don't consider the Rosh.
So why do we see that when the Parzuf is in Katnut, it has Galgal Te'enayim, including the Rosh?
No, the small one doesn't have a Rosh. The small one doesn't.
What are his vessels, Kelim?
You can say that we know that there are 10 sefirot everywhere. 10 and not 9 and not 11. You don't say there is no Keter Chochma Bina, but we say that there isn't Keter Chochma Bina that we attain, and there isn't Keter Chochma Bina that the small one activates. But there are those components, those parts. You understand? It's like you tell your neighbor, you don't have a head. He doesn't have a head. He has a head, but it's empty. Not of what you think. That's how we say about a small one. He has no rosh, meaning he can't activate his vessels correctly. That's how it is in spirituality. Or you can say, I can attain the rosh when I don't have the vessels to attain the rosh of the Pertzuf. Only in this way. But 10 parts, there are there. Either I'm lacking in attaining them, or they have no mochin. That means that there is no rosh, or that we don't include it, as you say it, when we start counting from chesed de nukva or from dat. There are many discernments in this. That's it? Okay. Amnon, you lately, I heard there's a strike in some prison there or something, so you're in part of this too? Well, we have to ask something. Give me some respect.
Sages are more important than prophets. 84. Sages are considered more important than prophets at any time, since prophets are sometimes imbued with the spirit of holiness and sometimes not. But the spirit of holiness is not removed from the sages for even a moment. And they know what is above and what is below, and do not need to reveal. Everything is chokhmah, wisdom, and the wisdom of Rabbi Elazar is higher than everyone else's. And were it not for the sages, people would not know what is the Torah, and what are the mitzvot, commandments of the Creator, and there would be no difference between man's spirit and the spirit of a beast.
Meaning the degree of the wise, the sages. It's not like we say in this world, like wise people, but a wise, a sage, is a degree a person reaches, as he writes, that it's more than a prophecy. Because the prophets, sometimes the Holy Spirit dwells on them, and sometimes not. It's a matter of prophecy, it comes and goes. But the sage is a person who attains, and it's his. Okay? Yeah.
He writes here, if not for the sages, people would not know what the Torah is. And of Moses, it's written that he was the greatest prophet of the people of Israel, and he brought us the Torah. Why was it not written that he is the greatest sage?
I don't know. If you ask me, meaning I don't know, I want to give you an example to say I don't know. Well, it's not about everything. First of all, I don't know in what way the Torah was accepted, how it was written, how Moshe gave it to the prophets, those old guys there that, and so on. The Knesset Gdola, we don't know. I don't understand all these things, or maybe it's speaking in one body that there's a few states between every person, or maybe it could be between humans. It's things that we hear it, and gradually throughout time, as much as we ascend in spiritual degrees, we'll understand this. But if you're asking me exactly, so I'm telling you seriously, not that I want to say I'm humble, and no, I'm really not certain that I understand this, what's written. The sages think more than the prophets, because sometimes on the prophets, write this, since prophets are sometimes imbued with the spirit of holiness and sometimes not, but the spirit of holiness is not removed from the sages even a moment. They know what is above and below and do not need to reveal. Everything is wisdom, and the wisdom of Rabbi Elazar is higher than everyone else. Were it not for the sages, people would not know what the Torah is and what are the mitzvot, the commandments of the Creator. It was all given to us through a degree called sages, or the wise, because it belongs to attainment. And we attain wisdom, chokhmah. The wise, the sage, is a degree that you're not only in chassadim, bestowing in order to bestow, but you're receiving in order to bestow. That from that you have wisdom clothed in chassadim, and you understand the things, but you don't know what degree. Like we learned before, not about Gar Vatzilut. Only Zat Vatzilut is what you can reach. Yes.
It's written here that they know what's above and below and do not need to reveal. What does this mean?
Again, as much as I understand, I'm not in such a degree. To know what's up and what's down, you can ascribe it to the light of Chokhmah, because when it is clothed, it is from up to down, vertically, in all the 125 degrees. They know the connection between what takes place in the Rosh, or in all the Rosh, and the goof of all the goofim, in every degree and degree, the connection between Rosh and goof, and between all the degrees, it is all the matter of chokhmah. In order to reveal that, you need to prepare a vessel of chassadim in according to the amount of chassadim you have. You'll discover more and more chokhmah. The more you prepare yourself with chassadim, with bestowal, you can fill it with chokhmah. And that's it. But if you can bestow the chassadim to others, you can help them, keep them, guard them, protect them, the Chochmah you can't give to anyone else, only to who has a prepared vessel for it with Chassadim that can receive the Chochmah from you, that you will make that passage for him by Zivug Daka as the upper one towards him, and you will turn to the upper one, and in this way you can give it to him. That's why Chochmah can't be passed on. You can acquire Chochmah, but you can't sell it, as it is written. And because Chochmah can only be accepted through Tzimtzum, Masach, or Chozer, a correct calculation, and that's it. As we learn in Zivug Daka. And Chassadim, no. Chassadim can be small and nulls towards the bigger one. And he has Chassadim from the upper one, from the big one, but you won't get Chochmah. That's what I think that he is talking about here. Yes.
In as the sentence go on, he says people would not know what the Torah is, what the mitzvot are. So do they reveal it? Do they not reveal it? Does it happen because of them, thanks to them? Or
the work in Torah mitzvot is entirely with Chochmah, that they reveal to us, the sages, that we have to do what? Work on our will to receive, annul it in the group, receive the light that reforms. We have to put the tzimtzum on our will to receive, above it masach, above the masach a calculation, as much as I am willing to participate in the actions of bestowal against my ego, as much as I can do it, I now become as a vessel of chassadim. I have done these things, let's say, and now I'm calculating how many actions I can do and actions to bestow in the vessel of chokhmah. The vessel of chokhmah is something that I'm already receiving in order to bestow, or receiving in order to bestow to the others, to the lower ones, or I'm receiving in order to bestow to the Creator. Now the question is, how can I bestow back to the Creator? What, is he receiving anything? No. So it turns out that the entire Torah is in order to bestow to the others, that specifically I receive from the Creator. And if I want to give something back to him, so what I do is, I fill the others. By this I give him contentment, because he is revealed towards all the others, and all the revelation is for the created beings, and by this I am giving him contentment. So it turns out that the Creator has shattered the vessels and given everybody an opportunity, that the whole world is his own, because I on my behalf can fulfill the whole world, and nobody can do it instead of me, and you and him and him and everybody. And by this specifically by this, we give contentment to the Creator. That's it. Now there's the work with the vessel of chassadim, the work with the vessel of chokhmah. Yes.
When you say chokhmah, do you mean Torah?
Torah isn't chokhmah only. Torah is a method how I correct my soul in order to fulfill it with the upper light, in order to bestow contentment to the Creator. Yes.
And this method, is it also called Chokhmah?
This
or
method,
wisdom?
This method, the wisdom of the Torah, or the Torah, or the wisdom of Kabbalah. The definitions aren't specifically precise.
Is there a connection between chokhmah, wisdom, and cerebrality?
Completely not. Give it to Trans.
Rav.
How can a student of Kabbalah begin to work on the Tzimtzum, the restriction? Oh, Jose, reflected light, Masach, the screen. Where do I begin? Where?
The work on the Tzimtzum, the restriction, starts when a person wants to implement the none else besides him, that there's only the Creator. If there's only the Creator, so I restrict all of my everything I have until this one work, one line of work only with him. What do I mean? That everything that comes, I say, it came from the Creator. Meaning there is no world, there are no people, there is nothing. There is nothing. There is around me just the Creator. Cars, people, children, adults, little ones, politics, money, work. I don't, no matter what, it's all the Creator appearing before me. It's all the way He is showing Himself. Even more, it's all the Creator showing Himself in the formless upper light, but when it's clothed in my vessels, it becomes money, it becomes food, it becomes work, it becomes all kinds of qualities and so on. But actually, I have business only with the Creator, only with the light, and nothing but that. When a person starts working in this way, he gradually reaches a state where he gets to the tzimtzum, the restriction. Because what does it mean, tzimtzum? I reach a state that I've actually cleansed all my thoughts and desires. Gradually, it's not right away. I've cleansed them from all of the sources of alien forms of bestowal, and there's only the Creator. And then, when I do that, so I have connection only with Him. If I slice it off, slice and slice it, that there's only Him, so it turns out that on the path I reach a state that I can't, that I don't think about the pleasures. I only think, how can I be locked on none else besides Him? He, him, in every state, in every place, in everything there is, it's Him. I can point at everything that surrounds me, and then I can work on the, that it's all not many kinds of the Creator, but only one presentation of Him. And in this way, I work. Yeah.
What is the difference between the work of revealing the Tzimtzum and Chafetz Chesed?
Chafetz Chesed is called that. It's after the Tzimtzum. First of all, the Tzimtzum. Tzimtzum is when I restrict myself. In all the actions in my will to receive, I have nothing. Meaning, it's the first action that from it and onward we can start performing all kinds of calculations. In this restriction, there is no calculation. Whatever you ask me, I say no. I say, but no, no. You understand? Like that. That's a tzimtzum, restriction. But working, what did you say, with the light of chasadim, with chafetz chesed? That's calculations, as much as I can, as much as I can. It's above the tzimtzum, in addition to the tzimtzum.
During the lesson, we speak of nullification before the friends.
Yeah.
There's how from annulment I...
We start working with the vessels again?
I start working on the tzimtzum, on the restriction.
When I start after the tzimtzum to work with my vessels, that I allow myself to receive something, I do it in order to bestow.
No, I annul myself.
When you are about to receive in order to bestow, you annul much more than before than performing the tzimtzum. And the tzimtzum, I just don't receive anything. Good. Afterwards, I say, no, I will receive for him. Meaning, also the pleasures that I will feel now, it'll be for him. Beyond the tzimtzum.
No. We start working on annulment with the ten. Annulment. You always speak about annulment, annulment, annulment.
Yeah.
And I cannot understand how, from annulment, can I attain tzimtzum, restriction.
Let's say that tzimtzum and annulment is the same thing. Yeah.
This is an answer for an infant.
Well, why for an infant? I'm annulling myself towards you, right? And I don't want anything. Well, what's annulment? There is some kind of box, right? These are all my desires.
Ratzonot.
Desires. Taryag, 613. It doesn't matter how much. Desires. And I'm restricting them. Some pleasure comes. Pleasure comes. And I say, no. This no is called tzimtzum. Meaning I reject it. The pleasure. So what are you asking?
How do I start saying no?
Oh, this I'll tell you. Maybe that's what you're asking about. I don't know. Here's the creator. This is the created being. Right? If the creator is bigger than the created being, then the created being wants to bestow to the creator. If the created being is bigger than the creator, then the created being wants the creator to bestow to him. It all depends on importance.
In my ten, in the ten, I don't exist, only the friends. I don't want anything, just for the friends. I keep talking, and, well, there's no friends, there's only the creator now. So, but how do I advance to Tzimtzum? It's not the same thing, annulment and Tzimtzum.
You keep thinking like this, and you'll feel all kinds of forms of different manners in a character. It's a matter of feeling it. I can't explain it. But it's good. Nice questions. What about you?
In my work with the ten, is the malchut for me, right?
Yeah.
And the more I work with it, I become more sensitive towards it, right? I begin working towards it with greater sensitivity.
Well, usually yes.
So the more a person advances in spirituality, correcting his malchut, working with his malchut, and becoming sensitive towards it, does he become sage-wise?
No, sage is a degree where I work with the light of chokhmah.
So it's not related to the inner process that...
It is, but not to the state that you're talking about. Those are very high degrees. I have here... desires I can bestow with and desires I can receive with. Desires that I can bestow with are working in them in chasadim, and the desires I can work with receiving are chokhmah. So chasadim is one and Kabbalah is two. It's much more difficult to work with the light of chokhmah and the vessels of reception.
When I work from within chasadim, opposite to chokhmah, do I work with greater sensitivity?
I didn't understand.
When I work out of chasadim, meaning bestowal, as I feel the ten, do I feel them more? Am I more sensitive towards them? What I'm trying to understand is if sensitivity also comes in degrees until we pass the machzom, the screen, and so on.
Yeah.
So the more I feel sensitive to the ten, the more my attitude towards them is more focused. In the end, when you pass the machzom, are you called the sage?
Why? No. You're confused. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
A lot after the machzom, you still have to keep working in order to become wise or a sage. What? Last time.
The sage, the wise, does he develop emotionally? The sage, a person of that level.
It's always emotionally in feelings. We're always developing in our feelings because our vessels are a desire to enjoy. That's why even chokhmah, wisdom, is feelings. That's it.
Thank you.
Gail Chanel, you woke up. Here's the microphone. A few days you didn't get permission.
It was good, actually. It was better.
Better? Okay, so give it back. We're done. That's it.
No, morning lesson.
No, God forbid. On the contrary, it's good. Keep enjoying.
A question from Dimitri from Toronto. He asks, does the work under restriction need to take place only in the ten, or should I also restrict all of the pleasures of the world to... restrict all the pleasures of the world, the worldly pleasures.
To annul myself and not receiving any pleasure if it's not with the intention to bestow to the Creator. The Creator must be before you when you accept everything from Him and you giving Him everything. Also friends, the teacher, the world, it's all the Creator, simply the Creator, and you are only working with Him.
Sergei Midneper. Sergei from Dnieper asks, what does it mean? Prophets, they're sometimes imbued with the Holy Spirit and sometimes not.
I don't know. It's just easy for me to say it because I really am not in the degree of prophecy. Prophecy is a very special degree, very high, very exalted. And let's hope we all get there, and we all will, no doubt. We will all have to attain all of the 125 degrees. Yeah.
Another question from Moshe from China. He's asking about the preparation for the lesson. He says that during the preparation, I feel that I come to the lesson unclean from the day. How do I prepare correctly? Is it a different kind of preparation from the morning lesson?
First of all, you shouldn't say that he comes all dirty from the work to the lesson. There's nothing to get too dirty with. We're not dirty. It's just what we're saying, what we're in this world. Food, sex, family, money, honor, knowledge, that nonsense. In spirituality, it's not even not taking them into consideration. You don't ascribe them to the Creator. In spirituality, a transgression is that you purposely want to harm the Creator. That's it. The fact that you're saying, no, I won't let him, I won't give it to him, I want to take it from him, and so on. That's called transgressions. And if you don't know anything, so you're a beast. What calculations that you're doing there with where you're working or whatever? There are no transgressions. They're not considered transgressions, what we're doing. No such thing. Relax. Don't devour yourself for nothing. A transgression is if you take it upon yourself, truly receive for yourself. Now, to start calculating that there is none else besides him. So, from here on, you start the spiritual work. When you are constantly have to be persistent, none else besides him. How can I establish myself in all the world in a state that there truly is none else besides him? I only have business with the Creator, not friends, not nothing, anybody, nothing. Only Creator. And I, also me. The point of the heart, only that isn't the Creator. Do you hear that? Especially. But from that point in the heart, when I look at everything, all my desires, my thoughts, my intention is Him. Everything outside of me is Him. What do I want to do? Nothing, just to constantly hold on to that fact that it's Him. That's enough. You'll see how much work that gives you. Okay?
So Moshe asked if there's a difference in the preparation to the lesson between the morning lesson and the evening lesson, the Zohar lesson. The second part of his question was what could be different in the preparation between the evening lesson and the morning lesson.
Really isn't such a difference, but I'd say that in the Zohar lesson, it's much more important to prepare ourselves to be together. And in the morning lesson, we keep working in eights and tens, but actually, it's always the same formula. Okay, what's happening? Yeah. What is it, a few days that we studied in the morning?
Good evening, Rav. What does it mean to take upon yourself? The condition that you take upon yourself, something, that there's none else beside him, I just say it out loud, that there's none else besides him, and then everything is fine?
Were you ever in a court?
Yes.
In front of a judge?
Yes.
What did the judge tell you?
He heard...
never mind, we know about you. So let's say that you tell the judge, me from now on, I swear that... Well?
What is my word worth?
What is it worth? What was your question?
I take on myself. You said,
oh, when you take it upon yourself?
Yes, but every day we say that you should renew this,
meaning you can not renew it and then you're relieved, or what? You need in every moment, because your desires, your thoughts constantly get messed up and change and renew themselves, and you have to renew your promise in every moment that you obligate, right? So what's the problem?
I commit to it by mouth, by words, but who says that by heart as well?
But if not in your heart, you're going to get blows, and then your heart is going to be afraid, and the next time, it will constantly hold you close. But how can it be no? Everything is reward and punishment. You want to get reward? Meaning, not. The judge says, now you're going to get, I don't know, a fine of 1,000 shekel. So you're going to say, no, I'll be okay. And he says, okay, won't give you a fine, but if within a year you'll do that same transgression again, you're going to get a month in jail. Okay? So, you're always going to have a promise against reward and punishment, conditions, and between them is where you exist. That's how it is in every state, in every place. Now, compared to the Tzimtzum, everything they said here, or towards our correction, we always need to get specific discernments. What is reward and what is punishment? And who is the reward for and who is the punishment for? It could be that I'm doing everything that's written, but so I can feel good. And God forbid, not be given something bad. Or I could say, no, I will do it because it belongs to the Creator. And I want to give Him contentment and so on and so on. It depends how you organize it, but it's always reward and punishment. Think constantly about reward and punishment, and you'll see who you want to ascribe it to.
Thank you.
No.
Oh, of course, Amnon is doing me a favor.
God forbid, I'm doing myself a favor. I wanted to return to the drawing, to the sketch. Rav drew the tzonot, the desires, 613 in the box. So if this box is the 10, why can't pleasure come to it? Come to the 10?
What pleasure?
Any pleasure. What's bad? What's wrong with the pleasure that comes after?
If I am with my 10, this is me, and these are the other 10, and I am working towards them, receiving from the Creator, and I'm passing it on to them, so I'm getting times 10. Right?
Right?
So please, you're allowed to receive. Wait. Why you're allowed? Because here I'm receiving. And also here I'm giving. And by this, by doing this action, what am I doing? I'm giving the Creator contentment. This is the Creator. So you're allowed to receive as much as you want. You are enjoying by receiving, by bestowing to others and to the Creator, and from bestowing to the Creator, you're also getting contentment. You're giving Him contentment, except for the fact that you took it from Him to fulfill the others.
Can we return to the previous drawing? I agree to all of that, but if the tzimtzum prevents the entrance of the pleasure, then everything that you've just said...
No, it's not correct,
why
mister.
Why not correct?
No, if I am here, with my will to receive, in order to pass it through me onward, there is no problem.
But the tzimtzum, the restriction obstructs me. It doesn't let pleasure enter.
Why are you making me sorry? This is the masach. This is the desire. Light comes. And there is Tzimtzum Aleph here, right? So I reject the light. What does it mean that I'm rejecting the light?
I don't want to receive. I don't want to receive the pleasure.
You are rejecting because that you don't want to receive for myself. To myself. The moment I start, I do this. Afterwards I say no, I will receive in order to give contentment to the Creator, to give it back to Him. But how can I give it back to Him? What can I do? In order to receive to others, so I take it for myself, and then I pass it on to others, to the friends. That is the whole patent. And then you're allowed to do it, and how you're allowed to do it. And then I give to the Creator, and I give to the friends. It's actually the same thing, but for now, it's not the same thing. But very quickly, you see that the friends are also the presentation of the Creator.
So I can understand that. Can I understand that Tzimtzum Aleph is somehow selective?
Tzimtzum Aleph is just not to enjoy for myself, but towards the others, please. Otherwise, then how do the vessels receive anything in order to bestow? How can you receive in order to bestow? Receiving in order to receive, you're not allowed. That's why I'm rejecting everything and saying restriction. But I have someone to bestow to. On the contrary, I say, bring it, give it. Okay?
Thank you.
Good. Yes.
Of which pleasures are we speaking here? I've never felt any pleasure. I live in suffering.
Oh, poor guy. Look at him. Really full of suffering.
No, I mean, also the corporeal pleasures I felt brought me to suffering. So what pleasures are we talking about?
Because you wanted to receive it. Enjoy, right? And then you discover that in the way that you receive and enjoy, you have suffering from it, right?
Yes.
And what next?
So I'm asking, what pleasures are spoken of here? Earthly pleasures or some kind of high pleasures? I don't know. What are these pleasures?
What are you asking about?
The pleasure that comes from above. What pleasure is that? An earthly pleasure that I should reject? A spiritual pleasure that I don't recognize?
It's a different pleasure.
So can you give an example of what this pleasure is?
You don't have an example in this world about what you're asking about. It's not that I'm taking a piece of bread and I'm enjoying myself. now, and afterwards I'm taking a piece of bread and also enjoying myself, but only in order to bestow. It's not the same pleasure in the bread in order to bestow. It's a pleasure that I am bestowing to someone, and that someone is important, let's say mother, and I'm a child, so I'm taking something that she wants me to eat, and I'm giving her pleasure. So my pleasure isn't from what I'm eating, but I have to enjoy it, otherwise I'm lying to her, but actually the pleasure is from the food only to give her joy. It's different pleasure. You're saying, show me that pleasure, Jill. Let me feel something. I can't feel it. It's pleasure in bestowing. You have vessels of bestow? No. So, try and get them. These pleasures are called light. Oh. These pleasures are the light. It's not bread and not water and not a candy and ice cream and nothing.
Meaning, this is a pleasure that can clothe over earthly pleasure?
I don't know what, no.
So I'm eating for the mother, not for me.
So I don't know what it means to be clothed on corporeal pleasure.
If I'm eating this, the food I'm eating for the mother, to give her contentment, is still an earthly pleasure for me.
Yeah.
So it's an earthly pleasure.
No. So... won't help. Okay? Is everybody happy? Oh, you didn't ask it. Well?
It's...
I don't want to talk about this, because he doesn't understand, you won't understand.
No, what pleasure?
Spiritual pleasure. That has nothing to do with... Not depending on that piece of bread, but as much as this person I'm doing it for is great in my eyes.
Okay, so how to work with this with the friends in the ten?
I don't understand your question.
No, almost everything is understood here, but what pleasure? What do we need to annul ourselves before?
That is why I'm saying something simple. This is not for us yet. We just have to try and annul ourselves towards the friends, so in the future we can give contentment to the Creator. And not to make any calculations more than more complicated, that it'll confuse us or stop us. But the restriction we do on self-reception, and after the tzimtzum, I can do any action I want because I'm not doing it with self-calculation. Just understand, what is the restriction? It means that from this moment on, I'm not receiving pleasure of my own as a basis for the calculation of what to do, how to do, what to receive, in which way, in what measure. Nothing. I don't take it into consideration. What does it mean I'm not taking into consideration? If you're giving joy to the Creator, to the landlord, by eating at his place, so yes, I'm willing to do it. I can sit in front of the landlord and sit and enjoy, and will it be a transgression or a mitzvah? If I can do that, if I can calculate that I am enjoying only for the host and not for myself, so that is a mitzvah, and I'm doing a spiritual action. How do I do it? So for this, I have to be clean from all of the self-calculations, that I have such breaks inside of me, such greatness of the Creator and greatness of the friend, that it's more than me. More than me. In everything. Just like the baby compared to the mother. And then I am willing to do an action of bestow. I'm prepared to do it. Because in any way I'm not planning to enjoy myself, only for Him. I'm as if coming out of my body and in Him. Yes.
Раф, вот очень хорошее выяснение. Вот получается, что для того, чтобы включиться в товарища и да, переживать реально за него, я должен молиться, потому что я чувствую, что вначале есть какая-то стена между нами.
This was a very beautiful scrutiny, because in order to integrate with the friend, I must pray for him, integrate with him. There's this wall of separation.
Yes.
Это есть моя молитва за него.
And when I start to somehow care for the friend, does it mean I have prayer for him?
Yes.
Тогда это состояние напоминает то, что в работе в Египте мы изучали, когда я пытаюсь все время молиться, чтобы быть все ближе и ближе к
товарищу.
Understand one thing. I want to make of myself a vessel of work. I take my desires, my qualities, my thoughts, everything I have, and my point in the heart. It holds me. I hold it. And from the point in the heart, I take everything I am, thoughts, desires, calculations, everything, and I use it like a means to give pleasure, let's say for a friend. That is called that I'm not calculating for myself. That is called that I'm not receiving. From this moment, I can receive and do whatever. Doesn't matter. The main thing is that I see myself as a vessel, as a means to cause him contentment. That is called restriction.
Но чтобы прийти к этому состоянию кли, быть чистым проводником, я должен все время очищать себя, как-то молиться, ну, делать себе трубу такую.
How
do I reach it? I reach it by working in a group and with the help of the light that reforms. Only the upper light can do it for me. Nothing but that.
Постоянная чистка себя, такая внутренняя работа, молитва и действия, молитва и действия, да?
Meaning to always be cleansed, cleaning yourself, always praying and working, prayer and work.
Yes, the prayer is called turning to the surrounding lights.
Thank you.
Oh no, what do we come to? Now Rami's asking. Give it to him.
We know that the condition for the tzimtzum is the shame, feeling of shame in the vessel. There needs to be a feeling of an infinite gap between the will to bestow and the will to receive.
Correct.
I'm trying to look at it practically. I'm trying to envision that the friends are in bestowal and I'm not. Let's say the friends in the tent, to see them, to develop shame towards them.
If you can even picture it, it's a good thing. But to see it with your senses, it's something great.
And is the Rav there also? Everything above me, Rav, Baal Sulam, all the steps, all the worlds, do I need to develop some kind of shame? How is it possible that I'm still in my egoistic nature and everyone is already bestowing, connected?
Let it be like that. Okay, that's good too.
But if bestowal is something very unpleasant, no, shame, sorry, shame is something very unpleasant for the will to receive, I prefer not to see this picture.
So what can I do, mister?
Now I'm asking what to do. What do you do in order to convince myself to see reality in that way?
I'm asking you this. Let's say now they tell you either you, who you are, all your thoughts, all your desires, all your actions, everything you ever did in your life, on everything, that everybody will know about it. And you go into spirituality. Do you agree? What? Answer us.
Once I used to ask myself, if someone clicks his fingers and I have to change place with you, with the Rav, my answer is no, strictly no. I don't know what to say. Maybe.
So you can't give up on the shame.
Yes.
That means you're not prepared for the restriction yet. And you're still before the entrance to spirituality.
This is a known state, a sad but known state. What do you do in order to jump and...
No, what, you want to shut your eyes and get rid of it and jump?
Yes, sometimes you advance like that. A person makes a step, he doesn't know where to, but...
No. The Creator squeezes you drop after drop after drop, like out of a washcloth. Otherwise, there's no pleasure. Yes, Trans.
Now, what is the connection between revealing everything I've done in my life and spirituality restriction? What's the connection between these things?
I just gave an example that it... What the connection is... What can you regret? What can you show your importance on spirituality for, if not on things like this, for now? Then the concessions become way greater. So what? What is the... It's a matter of importance. Just like we learned here, what is importance? Importance of the Creator, importance of the friends, importance of spirituality compared to what I am. But you can't blur this out. You can't. It has to be truly a calculation that's it. Everything's open. You open all the cards. And there is... We think this, I open the cards, so what can you do? I'm a human, and everybody does it. Everybody's like this. No. Don't blur it out. It's things that are very... more precise. If we want to overcome them, it's only by inviting the light that reforms. Because when the light that reforms influences, you get forces to be above every shame there is in stories from the past, present, future. It doesn't matter what. The light sustains you. That's why the connection with the friends is in order to attain the light that reforms. That's the solution. That's it.
If I see that everything is him, everything is enot milvado, nornesu besides him, creator, everything, why is it called tzimtzum, restriction?
Because you don't see it. You don't see it in all your desires and all your thoughts. You don't see the Creator isn't there in everybody. No? That's Gmar Tikkun if it's going to be like this. Also, the Tzimtzum, I don't know what you're talking about, Tzimtzum. Maybe concealment?
No, with the restriction, I start seeing that everything is the Creator, right? I start seeing it.
The embryo starts formulating. The spiritual path starts from a person restricting himself. and says, except for me, everything is the Creator.
What do I annul in myself?
We need to annul your attitude, the thoughts and desires, that it's yours. But you go and determine that all your thoughts and all your desires is the upper force, is the Creator. And who are you? You are only one point who wants to determine that there is only the Creator. Okay. Yes, Chanoch.
The landlord and the guest, the greatness of the Creator exposes shame, reveals shame in me. And here you talk about the importance of the Creator nullifying the shame. So what is the importance? Is the greatness of the Creator that I reveal, does that generate shame? And what is the importance of the...
What you said, something, greatness of the Creator annuls the shame. I don't want to be what?
When I define myself as the receiver, lower than the Creator, who is great because he bestows, at that moment I can't be with him. I close myself off, shut myself. You say that the shame of shutting myself, closing myself from receiving, it shows the greatness of the Creator. He's greater than I am. So I annul my shame because he suffers more by not giving than I suffer by not receiving.
Nice philosophy. Why do you need to philosophize? I don't understand. He can't digest what you said. I'm telling you, it's calculations that are like double, I don't know. Maybe you're right, but I didn't get it. Yes.
Rav Erganat asked about this, how can this channel be clean, this pipe be clean? There needs to be some kind of approach. What is that approach? If I can't ask for myself, what is this request?
To be as a channel, as a pipeline, that's... a turn to the Creator to get forces from Him to be bestowing to the friends. That's got to be a pipeline.
Thank you. A question about that pleasure. How does it become spiritual pleasure from earthly pleasure? Is that the intention that does it?
I don't know. I don't know what the corporeal pleasure is.
I'm sitting at my mother's place, hungry, eating, enjoying the food.
Enjoying the food.
Enjoy.
And spiritual pleasure?
Spiritual, because I'm eating in order to give my mother contentment, and through her to the Creator, of course. So the intention makes the earthly pleasure and a spiritual pleasure. My intention is why I'm eating, what for, right?
Nothing except for that.
Thank you.
Rav, what's the state when the whole world knows your thoughts and desires?
Rav, this is the state where the whole world knows about your desire, what you want. I tried doing this work with the 10, and it helps a lot that there is a state of scrutiny in the 10. Where we understand that that's not the important thing, but the connection above this scrutiny. To love the friend and not to scrutinize who's right, who's wrong.
And
are we speaking about the same state here, or is it something else?
Why do we need to scrutinize who's right or not?
Я говорю, что это не важно становится, когда в этом состоянии находишься.
No. Или, а что ты спрашиваешь?
So what are you asking? What state are you asking? Is it spiritual or not spiritual? That's what you want to ask, right?
Да, вот то, что ранее говорили, что нужно быть готовым быть голым, ну, все свои мысли, желания открыты десятки.
It's as you said to Rami that you need to be prepared so that all the thoughts and desires you have will be open.
That I told him about the Tzimtzum. Yes. Well, we don't understand. We're all tired already. We don't understand each other. Oh, here, give it to Amnon. He can ask the last question and that's it.
Okay, I just want to say, after such a lesson where I felt it very powerful, I'll go home and 90% of it I won't remember.
You don't have to remember anything.
But within me there will remain a sensation that something, I didn't do something right. I don't even know what we're talking about, I don't remember, but within me I'll have the sensation that I didn't maintain, do something I needed to do. So how can I come back to the lesson then?
I'll tell you what you have to do. You have to love me.
And how do I love you?
That's it. You sure you love me?
Yes, I'm sure I love you.
So that's it. You got it all.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Trans.
All right. Okay. No more questions?
Ken.
Yes.
What does it mean not to remember anything? I have to remember everything that happened here right now, no?
What happened? What's happened so much here? I said one thing. I have... There's the big world. And me. And a point in the heart. I need to say this. I don't want to receive anything, not from the external world, and not into my desires. I want to put my point in the heart only, which is me, and bestow through my qualities, through the external world, to the Creator, or say it otherwise. This is all the Creator. Except for this point of me, it's all Creator. That's what we have to do. So a friend screams at me, or somebody else, or somewhere, all kinds of things that are happening to me, and I say it's all the Creator. None else besides Him. I feel good or bad, no such thing. It's a good and benevolent. That's it. Now, you can say this. There's so many haters, war, problems. How can you relate to the world in this way? So I'm telling you, obviously, I can't relate in the clean way to anything. No. If I could truly, I would see the world 100% corrected. In order to reach it, that I was corrected to see the world corrected, that there's only none else besides Him in the world and the light of Ein Sof. So for that, the group was given, and in the group, I start relating to the group like this, and not the whole world. There are no friends. There is nothing in the group except for what? The Creator. That's how He's relating to me, treating me. How am I? Through my point of the heart. That's it. Only that. That's the only thing I have. Point of the heart. How do I relate to them? I relate to them like the Creator. In the group, you can do this exercise. Because in the group, when you start doing this, you'll start seeing that you can more and more see these things in the world. That the world, when it starts behaving this way like the Creator, the whole world is the Holy Divinity. Kabbalists write, and now you see it's like that. But we need, before that, to do exercises in the group. That is what we're learning. That's what you don't want to start.
Inne matovu manaim shevet achim gam yachad. Inne matovu manaim shevet achim gam yachad. Inne matovu shevet achim gam yachad. Inne matovu shevet achim gam yachad. Inne matu 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 shevet.